لا الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد الذين آتيناهم الكتاب يتلونه حق تلاوته صدق الله صدق الله العظيم. There was a time in the world when the jinnat were able to go up into the heavens to such a distance where they would eavesdrop and listen in on the conversations of the angels. The angels would discuss the various administrative commands given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on overhearing this information, the jinnat would return to the earth and disseminate it among the fortune tellers and the soothsayers. These fortune tellers and soothsayers would then combine this information, the whole lot of lies, untruths, and for a price, they would tell it to their customers who would come to them. But then there came a time in the world when the jinnat found they were no longer able to listen in on the conversations of the angels. They would try to do so. أَتْبَعَهُ شِهَابٌ ثَاقِبٌ. They would be pelted with flaming stars and chased away. When after so many thousands of years, things changed, the jinnat realized that something very momentous had transpired in the world that had caused this change to come about. They wanted to know, what is this new development in the world that we are no longer able to listen to the conversations of the angels? We don't have this access anymore. So the jinnat formed different groups and spread out in the four directions of the world, searching and investigating to see what has happened that has caused everything to change. There was a group of seven jinn from the land of Nasibin who came to a place called Nakhla. At that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Nakhla. Some ulama mentioned this was on the return journey from Taif. He was with Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu. Other ulama have not mentioned that. They say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on the way to the Souq of Ukkad with certain sahaba. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was performing the Fajr Salah. As the Imam, he was reciting the Quran Majid. This group of jinnat come and they can hear this Quran Majid being recited. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not see them and is not aware of their presence, but they are listening very attentively to the words of the Qur'an Majid, which they have never heard before. In the beginning of Surah Jinn, Allah Ta'ala describes the reaction of these jinnat, saying, "Inna sami'na Qur'anan ajaba." This jinnat said, "We have heard a Qur'an which is most amazing and wonderful." In the 26th para of the Qur'an Majid, Allah Ta'ala describes a small portion of this incident, saying, وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ. O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember that time when we sent to you a delegation of the jinn, a group of the jinn, يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنِ, who were listening very attentively to that Qur'an Majid being recited. And this is one right of the Qur'an Majid. In fact, it is an obligation. When a Qur'an Majid is being recited, then respect should be shown to that recitation. Allah Ta'ala tells us elsewhere in the Qur'an Majid, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. When you hear the Qur'an Majid being recited, then you should remain silent and you should listen attentively. So it is very, very disappointing when the Imam commences two rakats of Taraweeh Salah And yet people are relaxing in the back, engaging in idle conversation. One is that they are not joining the salah. The second is they are causing a disturbance for the imam. And this is a common complaint in almost every masjid. So one is they are not listening to that Quran being recited. They are ignoring this wajib obligation. Number two, they are disturbing the musallis and the imam. Number three, they are showing disrespect to the masjid as well. Nevertheless, Allah Ta'ala says, these jinnat who came, yastami'un al-Qur'an, they were listening attentively to the Qur'an. فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوهُ, when they presented themselves, قَالُوا أَنْسِتُوا, they said to one another, shh, keep quiet and listen. And as we said, this is the respect that should be shown to the Qur'an, remain silent and listen attentively. For the Qur'an to be recited, especially by the imam in the masjid, and others are present and engaging in their own conversations, is very, very disrespectful to the Qur'an-i Majeed. And these jinnat, on hearing this Qur'an-i Majeed, were blessed with hidayat. They embraced Islam, and they returned to their people as da'is, those calling towards Islam. وَلَّوْ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِمْ مُنذِرِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says, when they went back to their people, they were warners of the punishment of Jahannam for those who do not bring iman. In this incident, we see that this is the dynamic power of that Qur'an-i Majeed. On listening to just a few verses of the Qur'an-i Majeed, those jinnat came to a complete standstill, and a transformation of their hearts took place, where they had set out with one purpose and goal, yet they returned to their people completely transformed, now inviting towards the deen of Islam. And we find this is not a unique phenomenon. Hadrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, at one point, some ulama have mentioned, it is around the time of the boycott of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Banu Hashim, he also wished to leave Makkah Mukarramah. He said that, now I am frustrated. The kuffar have persecuted us to such a point. For Allah in peace, I would rather leave Makkah and go somewhere where I can worship my Allah in peace. And with this thought in his heart and mind, he leaves Makkah Mukarramah. He leaves Makkah Mukarramah, and as he's going, he comes to a certain place where he meets Ibn al-Daghina. So Ibn al-Daghina was a chief of his tribe, a very, very popular person. And Ibn al-Daghina asks him, "O Abu Bakr, where are you going to?" So he explains and says, "I'm leaving Makkah. I've made up my mind, I'm departing, because the people have made us so uncomfortable, harassed us relentlessly. We cannot." So Ibn al-Daghina says, no, hold it. You can't leave Makkah. A man like you, a man who is at the forefront of every good action, hosting guests, you are number one. If people are downtrodden, you are the first one to help them. If there's some calamity that befell the community, you are the first person to help. A person like you should never be forced to leave his home. Go back to Makkah, I'll speak to the people, I'll tell them to leave you alone and give you peace. You mustn't leave Makkah. Somebody like you should never be compelled to leave his home. So he comes back and he speaks to the Quraysh and he says, "Oh Quraysh, I have given Abu Bakr protection and amnesty. Nobody should interfere with him." Ibn al-Daghina was a very respected personality. So the Quraysh accepted his guarantee of protection and say, "Okay, we will not harass Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. However, we have one condition to stipulate. Our condition is that when he worships Allah and he recites Quran, he must do it within the confines of his home quietly. He must not worship Allah and recite Quran where anybody can hear him or in public. Because when he recites the Quran, there is such a magnetic attraction that our women and children come to listen to him. We fear they will become, in their words, corrupted. And they will accept this new religion." Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, accepts this condition. We find after 2 or 3 days pass, he makes a small place to worship Allah in the courtyard of his home. Now when he's seated there and reciting the Quran, remember Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was a man who was very soft-hearted. It is mentioned that when he would recite the Quran-i Majeed, he could not control himself. He would uncontrollably begin to tear and weep. And when any person saw how overcome he was by this love of Quran and how he was weeping, they themselves would start to weep and they would not be able to control themselves. As we said, magnetic attraction to his recitation. Now he's seated in the courtyard of his home reciting the Quran-i Majeed. the women of Quraysh, the children of Quraysh, the youngsters, they are coming to listen. And the Quraysh become worried. You see, they're listening to this Quran, next thing we know, they will leave our religion of idol worship, they'll also become Muslims. So they come to Ibn Daghina and they complain that he has broken and violated the condition of your protection. Ibn Daghina comes to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who tells him, you can take back your protection, but I will not change what I am doing. And then we look in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life as well. On so many occasions, he just recited a few verses of Qur'an-i Majeed and people's whole lives changed. Tufail bin Amr al-Dawsi was a person from the tribe of the Dawsi. He was very, very close to the people of the Quraysh. Very intelligent person, celebrated poet, known for his words of wisdom. He on one occasion came to Makkah Mukarramah. And as soon as he came, the Quraysh warned him and said that, O Tufail, whatever you do, do not go close to this man or allow the words he recites to enter your ears, because there's some magic in his words. When he recites, you will leave your religion. And this man is a man who people are entering his religion, the rest of their family are not entering. So what's happening is, husband is separating from wife, father and child at loggerheads, families are now at war with one another. This man is fragmenting our community, is breaking the unity. This is the type of accusation they leveled against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala made it such that Tufail bin Amr, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reciting Qur'an-i Majeed, Tufail bin scared regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, frightened to such an extent that he had taken cotton wads and stuffed it into his ears to be earplugs, so that even unintentionally he should not listen to the Qur'an-i Majeed. So the people would call him Dhul Qutnatain, the person of the two cotton earplugs. That's the nickname they gave him. But he says, despite that, Allah Ta'ala caused those words of the Qur'an to enter his ears. On hearing it, he began to think to himself, I'm an intelligent person, I can think for myself. I have the ability to discern between right and wrong, to distinguish between truth and falsehood. Let me listen to some more. And let me make up my mind whether what the people are saying about him is correct or incorrect. People came for Hajj. The Quraysh had a big conference where they said, people are coming from far and wide. We need to close the doors of them accepting Islam. We need to spread propaganda wholesale before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can speak to them, so that nobody will give him a welcome or a good reception. So they had their big conference and they spoke to Walid bin Mughira, who said that he must tell everybody that he is a soothsayer and nobody must listen to his words. But Tufail bin Amr, despite everything, hears these words of the Quran and his heart is captured. He then follows Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his home and comes to speak to him, explains who he is, and says, I want to listen to more of these words that you are reciting. Some riwayat mention Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited to him Surah Falak and Surah Nas. And then he says to himself, these words he's reciting are divine words. This is not normal speech. His heart is transformed and he accepts Islam. He makes dua and he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm going back to my people to invite them to Islam. Make dua for Allah Ta'ala to give me some sign, some miraculous sign, that when I go back, they will know that I'm coming as your representative and I'm a true caller to Islam. It will help me in my dawah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for him. Allahumma aj'al lahu aya. Allah, give him the special sign. As he comes close to the place where his people were saying, the qabila, the tribe of Dawas, it was night time, it was very, very dark. A light begins to shine between his eyes, illuminating everything around him. But this causes him a bit of worry, because this light is shining between his eyes. So instead of viewing it positively, the people might see it negatively. Instead of them seeing that he is now rightly guided, following the Nabi of Allah, they might turn around and tell him that, you see, because you left idol worship, now your face has been disfigured. You got this funny thing shining on your face. So he makes dua to Allah, O Allah, move this light somewhere else. Allah Ta'ala transfers this light into his work. He gives his wife dawat, he gives his father dawat, Allah Ta'ala blesses them with hidayat. But try as he may, he gives his people dawat, he gives them dawat, they are not prepared to accept Islam. So he becomes very disheartened and frustrated. He comes back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, my people do not want to accept Islam. Make dua for Allah to destroy them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiles and he says, Allahumma hdi dawsan wa'ti bihim. O Allah, give hidayat to this tribe and bring them to us in the state of Islam. This is the mercy in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he tells Tufail bin Amr, Hazrat Tufail bin Amr radiallahu anhu, go back to your people. And with love, with gentleness, with compassion and wisdom, continue to work among them. Don't give up hope. You persist. And we find by the time Fath Makkah came about, half Islam, and later on the other half also, Allah Ta'ala blessed him with hidayat. But we find the turning point in the life of the Sahabi where he embraced Islam was when he heard those captivating words of the Qur'an-i Majeed. Respected elders and brothers, this Qur'an-i Majeed is something that needs to be a fixture in the life of every Muslim on a daily basis. How every person has to eat every day to live. He should not be able to pass his day without opening and reciting some of the Qur'an-i Majeed. That Qur'an-i Majeed is that vital ingredient that has left, due to which we find we are restless. There's no contentment. In the home also, at times, there's no happiness. In one hadith, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu mentioned, إِنَّ الْبَيْتَ الَّذِي تُلِيَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. That home in which recited regularly. What is the dynamic effect of the Qur'an in that home? Before we come to this hadith, go to another hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Nawwiru buyutakum bis-salah wa tilawatil Qur'an. Illuminate your homes with the performance of nafil salah at home and the recitation of the Qur'an-i Majeed in the home. What is the effect of light? You think about it, you are in your own home, where you live every day. You know exactly. And then there's a power cut, the lights go, it's pitch black around you. You're in your own home. Logically, you know there's no danger, there's no thief, there's nobody with a gun, there's no dog going to bite you. You an adult, you know there's no ghost in the cupboard. Yet when that light goes off and you're surrounded by darkness, how do you feel? You feel so uneasy. The first thing a person will take out his phone and put on that small tiny light. He wants some light. Without the light, he feels lost. Without the light, he feels stressed out. He feels so uneasy. Now how you get physical light, you get the light of the heart and the soul, that is called nur. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, if you want that nur in your home, so that the hearts in that home feel happy, they feel connected, there's harmony, there's peace, there's happiness, there's barakah, perform nafil salah in your home and recite Qur'an-i Majeed in your home. So coming back to the hadith of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that home wherein the Qur'an-i Majeed is recited regularly. What is the dynamic effect? اِتَّسَعَ بِأَهْلِهِ. That home will become very comfortable, it will become spacious. Spacious obviously is not meant literally. You recite a lot of Qur'an-i Majeed in your home, from being 200 squares, you're not going to become 300 squares. From 3 bedrooms, you won't get 4 bedrooms. That's not an expansion plan for the home. What it means is, you know, sometimes people are living in a mansion, but they down each other's throats. They feel like, I just need to get away. Why? Because there's no love, there's no mahabbat, there's no understanding. One way to generate that in the home is to reconnect with the Qur'an-i Majeed. If people do that, you find that barakah coming in the home. And then the sahabi mentioned, حَضَرَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَ خَرَجَتْ مِنْهُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. When you recite the Qur'an-i Majeed regularly in the home, the evil shayateen vacate and exit that home and flee far and far away. And you find the angels of Allah who will say Ameen to your du'as, who will protect you, who will encourage you towards good deeds, who will make you feel that peace of the heart. They frequent that home and they flock to that home. This Qur'an-i Majeed, respected elders and brothers, is something which, if a person connects with it, it will see him right in this world and in the next world. A person will see it in this world and the next world. If you look at the opening verses, the beginning verses of Surah Ibrahim, Allah Ta'ala says, Alif Lam Ra, Kitabun Anzalnahu Ilayk. The Qur'an-i Majeed is a kitab we have revealed to you, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسِ, so that you can take people out. Out from where? مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. From all the different types of darknesses towards light. So the Mufassirin have mentioned, Allah Ta'ala speaks about darknesses. and speaks about light. If you look, how many types of darkness are there? All the different types of sins are all types of darkness. All the different types of darkness. Worship, darkness of kufr, darkness of sin, the darkness of disobeying your parents, the darkness of having doubts in your iman. All these things are different types of darkness. Allah Ta'ala is saying, the remedy for all the types of darkness, every darkness one remedy. The Quran Majeed will take you out of whatever darkness you have and bring you towards Noor and bring you towards Hidayat. Another verse of the Quran Majeed, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, qad ja'atkum maw'idhatum min rabbikum. Advice has come to you from your Rabb in the form of the Quran Majeed, teaching you how to live your life. But it is not only a maw'idha and an advice. وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ It is a cure for the hearts. You find so many people are down and depressed. But you listen to some melodious recitation of the Qur'an Majid, how do you feel? Imagine you listen to somebody else's melodious recitation, it picks up your spirits. It's that soothing balm for the soul. Imagine if you yourself open and recite that Qur'an Majid, how you will feel. So in Mubarak Hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us the immense reward for reciting the Qur'an Majid. One is the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innakum la tarji'una ila rabbikum bishay'in afdal mimma kharaja minhu ya'ni al-Quran aw kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam." There is nothing through which you can connect yourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turn to him superior and better than that which came directly from Allah. You want to connect with Allah, there's nothing superior than that which came from Allah for connecting with Allah. What is that? The Qur'an Majid. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, for every letter of the Qur'an Majid a person recites, he gets one hasana. He gets one credit written to his good deed, to his account of good deeds. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, وَالْحَسَنَ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا Every hasana is multiplied by 10. And this is a special favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on our ummah, because our lifespans are short. Any good deed we do, it's multiplied by 10. Any sin we do, it's not multiplied, it's left as one. So a person recites one letter of the Qur'an Majid, he gets 10 credits written to his account. Rasulullah s.a.w. explained, لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف ولكن ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف. When you recite ألف لام ميم, you just started your recitation. Alif, Lam, Mim is not one. The Alif is one, it's getting multiplied by 10. That Lam is one, getting multiplied by 10. That Mim is one, getting multiplied by 10. Over and above that, respected elders and brothers, the reward of looking in the Qur'an Majid is over and above. The reward of holding that Qur'an Majid with respect is over and above. How much of reward a person is getting? And if a person looks at this hadith, Alif Lam Mim is what? It is the Ruhuruful Muqatta'at. Nobody knows what is the meaning of the word Alif Lam Mim. Yet without understanding also, Allah Ta'ala gives a person this reward. In other words, a person should never feel, I'm just reading parrot fashion, what benefit am I going to get? The benefit is definitely there, the reward is there, whether you understand or don't understand. You will find your heart changing. You will find that Noor coming in the home. You will find the hearts connecting. That missing factor a person is looking for. Today everybody is looking for that happiness of the heart. People spend hundreds of thousands of rands going for holiday here and there, buying the car of their dreams, the house of their dreams, the experience of their dreams. Yet when it's all over, what happens? They're looking for the next one. That void in the heart will never be filled with anything but the zikr of Allah. Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. And one of the greatest forms of zikr is recitation of the Qur'an Majid. We conclude with the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that person who frequently recites the Qur'an Majid in his home, that entire home begins to radiate nur. To the extent where the angels who are traveling in the heavens can use his home on earth as a lighthouse and a landmark to navigate through the heavens. When that person passes away, the angels take his ruh with so much of honor. They take his ruh with so much of respect and love and reverence. Because this is that person who recites the Qur'an Majid. When he's placed in the grave, that Qur'an Majid is there in the grave with him. Other ahadiths mention that your fasting is there, the kindness you show to people at your footside, your salah is there, and that Qur'an Majid is there as well. When the angels come to question this person, the Qur'an Majeed goes and stands in front of him and says, do not come any closer, you question him from where you are. I am here to protect him. That Qur'an Majeed tells him that throughout your life, you never abandoned me. You always recited me with that love and respect. Your heart was with me. I will not abandon you until I don't see you safely into Jannah. Respected brothers and elders, we start our day looking at our phone. We come to the masjid, we'll sit outside on our phone. Sometimes we come into the masjid, we're still on the phone. And then after salah, we go out again on the phone. And then before bed, what are we doing? We're sitting on our phone. We have connected with the phone, and through that we have connected with everything. And that has caused us to disconnect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected elders and brothers, we hear of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, how much Qur'an Majeed he recited in the month of Ramadan. 41, 42 khatams. We hear of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, 61 khatams. That is beyond most of our capability. But every one of us can take out the time to at least read 2-3 pages with every salah. At least quarter para a day as a start. But it must be a firm commitment from the heart that this Qur'an Majeed is there for me to connect with my Allah. Take it seriously, take out that time. Otherwise what will happen? Day will come, day will pass, another day will pass. Before we know it, we'll be in the grave. That cell phone won't help us in the grave. That Qur'an Majeed will help us in the grave. The day of Qiyamah, social media won't help us. That Qur'an Majeed will help us on the day of Qiyamah. Respected elders and brothers, invest our time and our heart in that Qur'an Majeed and see the returns in this world and the next. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.